and by that light she saw them both too. But sickly she nissed who was who. But as she saw white thing in her eye, and when she gan this white thing espy, she weened the clerk had wed a voluper, and with the staff she drew aye near and near, and weened have hit this alum at the fall, but smote the miller on the pilot skull, that down he goes, and cried, "Arrow, I die!" These clerks beat him well, and let him lie, and graven them, and took their horse anon, and eke their meal, and on their way they gone. And at the mill, yet they took their cake of half a bushel flour, full well y bake. Thus is this proud miller well y beat, and has he lost the grinding of the wheat, and paid for the supper every deal of Alan and of John that beat him well? His wife is swived, and his daughter else. Lo, such it is a miller to be false. And therefore this proverb is said full sooth, him that not ween well that evil doeth, a guiler shall himself beguiled be. And God that sitteth high in majesty, save all this company, great and small, thus have I quit the miller in my tale.
Alison is the wife of Bath. That is, she comes from Bath, a city in the west of England. She is one of only three women on the pilgrimage. Unlike the other two, she is not a nun, but an assertive, widely travelled, much married woman with a skilled trade at which she excels, cloth-making. Everything about her is large, to the point of exaggeration. We remember the wife of Bath, not so much for her tale, as for Chaucer's account of her in the general prologue, and, above all, for her own prologue, which argues that a marriage in which the woman has the mastery is the best. The prologue is about three times as long as the tale, to which it is supposed to be a short introduction. If that is appropriate for anyone, it is appropriate for Alison of Bath, about whom many things are large. Her bulk, her clothes, her mouth, the number of her marriages, the extent of her travels. Her zest for sex, her love of domination, her opinionatedness, her torrential delivery. The result is a portrait of someone for whom it is difficult to find a parallel in later English literature, except perhaps Shakespeare's Falstaff, or some of the characters of Dickens, or Joyce's Molly Bloom. She is wonderful company, provided one is not married to her, and can contemplate from a distance the fate of the sixth husband whom she is seeking as voraciously as she did his predecessors. "Welcome the sixth, when that ever he shall," she says. Shall what? Have the temerity to get too close to this medieval Venus flytrap and be devoured? One reason we remember the wife so vividly is the intense personal quality that emanates from the character. Take her way of referring to herself, or to women in general. Whether she's holding forth in her prologue or telling her tale, her pronouns slip with an engaging ease from they to we to I, or I to we to women. Her talk is intensely hers, incapable of being confused with that of anyone else. As she is telling how she always made provision for another husband, if her current victim died, she loses the thread of her discourse for a second, but only for a second. "But now, sir, let me see, what shall I say in? Aha, I have my tale again." As she is telling her tale, she refers to the classical story of Midas, and immediately wants to tell it. "Will you hear the tale?" she asks. "Do you think you have any choice?" Her prologue is, above all, about her, her experiences of love in and out of marriage, and her right to hold forth on that subject in spite of the authority of clerics who know nothing about the matter. A much-married woman herself, she has much more authority on love and marriage than any celibate cleric who knows only books, and she knows how to deal with books that do not please her too. Her outpouring is a confession of sorts, but without a trace of penitence, for as she recalls with relish, I have had my world as in my time. The only thing she regrets is that age hath bereft me of my beauty. Take it not a grief of what I say, for my intent is not but for to play, she says to the pilgrims. But the force of her polemic and her personality has attracted far more attention from readers and hearers, early and late, than most other characters on that famous pilgrimage. When you have heard her dramatic monologue, you will realize why. Here, then, is the Wife of Bath's celebrated prologue, followed by her tale, read by Barbara Rosenblatt.
Experience, though no authority, wherein this world is right enough for me to speak of woe that is in marriage. For, lording, since I 12 years was of age, thank it be God that is eternal alive, husbands at church door I have had 5, if I so often might have wedded be, and all were worthy men in their degree. But me was told certain not long agone is that since that Christ no went never but once to wedding in the Cana of Galilee, that by the same example taught he me that I ne should wedded be but once. Lo, hark, eke, which a sharp word for the nunce, beside a well Jesus, God and man, spoke in reproof of the Samaritan. Thou hast had 5 husbands, quod he, and that ilka man which that now hath thee is not thy husband. Thus he said certain. What that he meant thereby I cannot sayn, but that I ask why that the 5th man was no husband to the Samaritan. How many might she have in marriage? Yet heard I never tellen in mine age upon this number definition. Men may divine and glossen up and down, but well I wot express without a lie, God bade us for to wax and multiply. That gentle text can I well understand. Eke well I wot he said that my husband should let father and mother and take to me. But of no number mention made he of bigamy or of octogamy. Why should men then speak of it villainy? Lo, here the wise king Dawn Solomon. I trow he had wives many a one, as would to God it lawful were to me to be refreshed half so oft as he. Which gift of God had he for all his wives? No man hath such that in this world alive is. God wot this noble king as to my wit. The 1st night had many a merry fit with each of them, so well was him alive. Blessed be God that I have wedded 5. Welcome the 6th, when that ever he shall, for since I will not keep me chaste in all when my husband is from the world gone, some Christian man shall wed me anon. For then the apostle says that I am free to wed on God's half where it liketh me. He says that to be wedded is no sin. Better to be wedded than to brin. What recketh me, though folk say villainy, of shrewed Lamech and his bigamy? I wot well Abraham was a holy man, and Jacob eke as far as ever I can, and each of them had wives more than 2, and many another holy man also. Where can you see in any manner age that high God defended marriage by express word, I pray you telleth me? Or where commanded he virginity? I wot as well as you it is no dread the apostle, when he speaks of maidenhead. He said that precept thereof had he none. Men may counsel a woman to be won, but counselling is no commandment. He put it in our own judgment. For had God commanded maidenhead, then had he damned wedding with the deed. And certes, if there were no seedy so, virginity then whereof should it grow? Paul durst not command, and at the least a thing of which his master gave no hest. The dart is set up for virginity. Catch whoso may, who runneth best, let's see. But this word is not take of every wight, but there as God will give it of his might. I wot well that the apostle was a maid, but natheless, though that he wrote or said, he would that every wight were such as he, all this but counsel to virginity. And for to be a wife he gave me leave of indulgence. So nis it no reprieve to wed me, if that my make die, without exception of bigamy. All were it good no woman for to touch, he meant as in his bed or in his couch. For peril is both fire and toad to assemble. You know what this example may resemble. This all and some. He held virginity more perfect than wedding in frailty. Frailty keep I, but if that he and she would lead all their life in chastity. I grant it well. I have of none envy, though maidenhead prefer bigamy. It likes them to be clean in body and ghost. Of mine estate no will I make no boast, for well you know a lord in his household ne has not every vessel all of gold. Some be of tree, and do their lord service. God cleepeth folk to him in sundry wise, and ever each has of God a proper gift, some this, some that, as that him liketh shift. Virginity is great perfection, and continence eke with devotion. But Christ, that of perfection is well, bad not every wight he should go sell all that he had and give it to the poor, and in such wise follow him and his four. He spoke to them that will live perfectly, and lordings, by your leave, that am not I. I will bestow the flower of all mine age in the acts and the fruit of marriage. Tell me also, to what conclusion were members made of generation, and of so perfect wise a righty wrought? Trusteth me well, they were not made for naught. Gloss whoso will, and say both up and down, that they were made for purgation of urine. And our both things small was eke to know a female from a male, and for no other cause. Say you know? The experience wot well it is not so, so that the clerks be not with me wroth. I say this, that they make it be for both. This is to say, for office and for ease of engendrer, were we not God displease. Why should men else in their books set that man shall yield unto his wife her debt? Now wherewith should he make his payment, if he ne used his silly instrument? Then were they made upon a creature to purge urine and eke for engendrer. But I say not that every wight is hold that has such harness as I to you told, to go and usen them in engendrer. Then should men take of chastity no cure. Christ was a maid and shapen as a man, and many a saint since that this world began yet lived they ever in perfect chastity. I nil envy no virginity. Let them be bred of pured wheat seed, and let us wives houghten barley bread. And yet with barley bread, mark, tell, can, our Lord Jesus refreshed many a man. In such a state as God has cleeped us, I'll persevere, I am not precious. In wifehood will I use mine instrument as freely as my maker has it sent. If I be dangerous, God give me sorrow. My husband shall it have both eve and morrow, when that him list come forth and pay his debt. A husband will I have. I will not let which shall be both my debtor and my thrall, and have his tribulation withal upon his flesh while that I am his wife. I have the power during all my life upon his proper body, and not he. Right thus the apostle told it unto me, and bade our husbands for to love us well. All this sentence me liketh every deal. Up starts the pardoner, and that anon. Now damn, quod he, by God and by Saint John, you be a noble preacher in this case. I was about to wed a wife, alas. What, should I buy it on my flesh so dear? Yet had I liever wed no wife to year. Abide, quod she, my tale is not begun. Nay, thou shalt drinken of another tun, ere that I go shall savour worse than ale. And when that I have told thee forth my tale of tribulation in marriage, of which I am expert in all mine age, this is to say, myself has been the whip, then mayest thou choose whether thou wilt sip a filkerton that I shall approach. Beware of it, ere thou too nigh approach, for I shall tell examples more than 10. Whoso that nil beware by other men, by him shall other men corrected be. These same words writeth Ptolemy. Read in his Almagest, and take it there. Dame, I would pray you, if your will it were, said this pardoner, as you began, tell forth your tale, and spareth for no man, and teacheth us young men of your practice. Gladly, quod she, since that it may you like, but that I pray to all this company, if that I speak after my fantasy, as taketh not a grief of what I say, for my intent is not but for to play. Now, sir, then will I tell you forth my tale. As ever may I drinken wine or ale, I shall say sooth. The husbands that I had, as 3 of them were good, and 2 were bad. The 3 men were good and rich, and old. Anitha mighten they the statute hold, in which that they were bounden unto me. You wot well what I mean of this, pardie. As God me help, I laugh when I think how piteously a night I made them swink. But by my fay, I told of it no store. They had me given their land and their treasure. Me needed not do longer diligence to win their love or do them reverence. They loved me so well by God above that I ne told no dainty of their love. A wise woman will busy her ever in one to get her love, yea, whereas she has none. But since I had them wholly in my hand, and since that they had given me all their land, what should I take and keep them for to please, but it were for my profit, or mine ease? I set them so a work, by my fay, that many a night they sungen well away. The bacon was not fetched for them, I trow, that some men have in Essex at Dunmow. I governed them so well after my law, that each of them full blissful was, and for, to bring me gay things from the fair. They were full glad when I spoke to them fair, for God it wot I chid them spittously. Now hearken how I bore me properly. You wise wives that can understand, thus shall you speak and bear them wrong on hand, for half so boldly can there no man swear and lie as a woman can. I say not this by wives that be wise, but if it be when they them misadvise. A wise wife, if that she can her good, shall bear him on hand the chough is wood, and take witness of her own maid of her assent. But hearken how I said, Sir old Canard, is this thine array? Why is my neighbour's wife so gay? She is honoured over all, there she goes. I sit at home, I have no thrifty clothes. What dost thou at my neighbour's house? Is she so fair? Art thou so amorous? What roan you with our maid, Bendicity? Sir old lecher, let thy japers be. And if I have a gossip or a friend without guilt, thou chidest as a fiend, if that I walk or play unto his house. Thou comest home as drunken as a mouse, and preachest on thy bench with evil preef. Thou sayest to me, it is a great mischief to wed a poor woman for costage. And if that she be rich, of high parage, then sayest thou that it is a tormentry to suffer her pride and her melancholy? And if that she be fair, thou very knave, thou sayest that every holler will her have? She may no while in chastity abide, that is assailed upon each aside. Thou sayest some folk desire us for riches, some for our shape, and some for our fairness, and some for she can either sing or dance, and some for gentleness and dalliance, some for their hands and their arms small. Thus goes all to the devil by thy tale. Thou sayest men may not keep a castle wall. It may so long assailed be over all. And if that she be foul, thou sayest that she covets every man that she may see. For as a spaniel, she will on him leap till she may find some man her to cheap. None so grey goose goes there in the lake, as sayest thou, that will be without a make. And sayest it is a hard thing for to yield, a thing that no man will his thanks held. Thus sayest thou, Laurel, when thou goest to bed, and that no wise man needeth for to wed, nor no man that intendeth unto heaven. With wild thunder, dint, and fiery leaven, may thy welked neck be to broke. Thou sayest that dripping houses and eek smoke and chiding wives make and men to flee out of their own house. Ah, Bensity, what aileth such an old man for to chide? Thou sayest that we wives will our vices hide till we be fast, and then we will them show. Well may that be the proverb of a shrew. Thou sayest that oxen, asses, horses, hounds, they be assayed at diverse stounds. Basins, lavers, ere that mend them by, spoons, stools, and all such husbandry. And so be pots, clothes, and array. But folk of wives maken no assay till they be wedded, O dotage shrew. And then, sayest thou, we will our vices show. Thou sayest also that it displeaseth me, but if that thou wilt praisen my beauty, and but thou pour always upon my face, and cleaper me fair dame in every place, and but thou make a feast on thilke day that I was born, and make me fresh and gay, and but thou do to my nurse honour, and to my chamberer within my bower, and to my father's folk and mine allies, thou sayest thou, O barrel full of lies. And yet of our apprentice Jankin, for his crisp hair shining as gold so fine, and for he squireth me both up and down, yet hast thou caught a false suspicion? I will him not, though thou were dead tomorrow. But tell me this, why hidest thou with sorrow the keys of thy chest away from me? It is my good as well as thine, pardy. What, weenst thou make an idiot of our dame? Now by that lord that called is Saint James, thou shalt not both, though that thou were would, be master of my body and my good. that one thou shalt forego maugre thine iron, what helpeth it of me inquire and spyen? I trow thou wouldst lock me in thy chest. Thou shouldest say, fair wife, go where thee lest. Take your disport, I will not leave no tales. I know you for a true wife, Dame Alice. We love no man that taketh keep or charge where that we go. We will be at our large. Of all men, e blessed may he be, the wise astrologer Dawn Ptolemy, that says this proverb in his Almagest: of all men, his wisdom is the highest, that recketh not who has the world in hand. By this proverb thou shalt well understand, have thou enough? What thou thee reck or care, how merrily what other folks fare? For certes, old dotard, by your leave, you shall have quaint right enough at eve. He is too great a niggard that will wern a man to light a candle at his lantern. He shall have nevertheless light, pardee. Have thou enough? Thee thou not plain thee? Thou sayest also, if that we make us gay with clothing and with precious array, that it is peril of our chastity. And yet, with sorrow, thou must enforce thee, and sayest these words in the apostle's name: in habit made with chastity and shame, you women shall apparel you, quod he, and not in tressed hair and gay peris, as pearls, nor with gold, nor clothes rich. After thy text, nor after thy rubric, I will not work as muchel as a gnat. Thou saidest this, that I was like a cat, for whoso that would singe a cat's skin, then would the cat well dwellen in its inn. And if the cat's skin be sleek and gay, she will not dwell in house half a day, but forth she will ere any day be dawed, to show her skin and go a caterward. This is to say, if I be gay, Sir Shrew, I will run out my apparel for to show. Sir old fool, what helpeth thee to spy? Though thou pray Argus with his hundred eyes to be my warder-core as he can best, in faith he shall not keep me but me lest. Yet could I make his beard, so may I thee. Thou saidest eke that there be things three, the which things greatly trouble all this earth, and that no wight may endure the fourth. Oh, leave, Sir Shrew, Jesus short thy life. Yet preachest thou and sayest, a hateful wife, e reckoned, is for one of these mischances. Be there no other manner resemblances that you may liken your parables to? But if a silly wife be one of those, thou likenest eke woman's love to hell, to barren land where water may not dwell. Thou likenest it also to wild fire. The more it burns, the more it has desire to consume everything that burnt will be. Thou sayest, right as worms shend a tree, right so a wife destroyeth her husband. This know and they that be to wives bound. Lordings, right thus, as you have understand, bore I stiffly mine old husbands on hand, that thus they said'n in their drunkenness, and all was false. But as I took witness on Jankin, and upon my niece also. O Lord, the pain I did them, and the woe, full guiltless by God's sweet pine. For as a horse I could bite and whine, I could plain, and I was in the guilt, or else oftentime I had been spilt. Whoso that first to mill comes first grint. I plained first, so was our wary stint. They were full glad to excusen them full blithe of things of which they never a guilt their lives. of wenches would I bearen them on hand, when that for sick they might anether stand. Yet tickled I his heart, for that he wend that I had of him so great charity. I swore that all my walking out by night was for to spy on wenches that he dight. Under that colour had I many a mirth, for all such wit is given us in our birth. Deceit, weeping, spinning, God has give to women kindly, while that they may live. And thus of one thing I may avaunt me. At the end, I had the better in each degree, by sleight or force or by some manner thing, as by continual murmur or grouching. Namely, a bed. There hadn't they mischance. There would I chide and do them no pleasance. I would no longer in the bed abide, if that I felt his arm over my side, till he had made his ransom unto me, then would I suffer him to do his nicety. And therefore every man this tale I tell, win whoso may, for all is for to sell. With empty hand men may no hawks lure, for winning would I all his lust endure, and make me a feigned appetite, and yet in bacon had I never delight, that made me that ever I would them chide. For though the Pope had sitten them beside, I would not spare them at their own board, for by my truth I quit them word for word, as help me very God omnipotent, though I right now should make my testament. I owe them not a word that it is quit. I brought it so about by my wit, that they must give it up as for the best, or else had we never been in rest. For though he looked as a wood lion, yet should he fail of his conclusion, then would I say, now, good leave, take keep. How meekly looketh Willikins our sheep. Come near my spouse, and let me bar thy cheek. You should be all patient and meek, and have a sweet spiced conscience, since you so preach of Job's patience. Suffereth always, since you so well can preach. And but you do, certain we shall you teach that it is fair to have a wife in peace. One of us two must bow, doubtless, and since a man is more reasonable than woman is, you must be sufferable. What aileth you to grouch thus and groan? Is it for you would have my quaint alone? Why, take it all. Lo, have it every deal. Peter, I shrew you, but you love it well. For if I would sell my Bella shows, I could walk as fresh as is a rose. But I will keep it for your own tooth. You be to blame, by God, I say you sooth. Such manner words had we in hand. Now will I speak of my fourth husband. My fourth husband was a reveller. This is to say, he had a paramour, and I was young and full of ragery, stubborn and strong, and jolly as a pie. How I could dance to a harp small, and sing you whiss as any nightingale, when I had drunk a draught of sweet wine. Metellius, the foul churl, the swine, that with a staff bereft his wife her life, for she drank wine. Though I had been his wife, ne should he not have daunted me from drink, and after wine, of Venus most I think. For all so sicker as cold engenders hail, a licorous mouth must have a licorous tail. In woman vinulent is no defence. This no one lechers by experience. But, Lord Christ, when that it remembereth me upon my youth and on my jollity. It tickleth me about my heart's root. Unto this day it does my heart boot, that I have had my world as in my time. But age, alas, that all will envenime, hath me bereft my beauty and my pith. Let go, farewell, the devil go therewith. The flower is gone, there is no more to tell. The bran, as best I can, now must I sell. But yet to be right merry will I fond. Now will I tellen of my fourth husband. I say I had in heart great despite, that he of any other had delight. But he was quit by God and by Saint Jose. I made him of the same wood a cross, not of my body, in no foul manner, but certainly I made folk such cheer that in his own grease I made him fry for anger and for very jealousy. By God, in earth I was his purgatory, for which I hope his soul be in glory. For God it wot, he sat full oft and sung, when that his shoe full bitterly him wrung. There was no wight save God and he that wist in many wise how sorely I him twist. He died when I came from Jerusalem, and lies he grave under the rude beam. All is his tomb not so curious as was the sepulchre of him, Darius, which that Apelles wrought subtly. It is but waste to bury them preciously. Let him farewell. God give his soul rest. He is now in his grave and in his chest.
This ends Disc 5. The Canterbury Tales, Disc 6.
Now of my fifth husband will I tell. God let his soul never come in hell. And yet was he to me the most true, that feel I on my ribs all by row, and ever shall unto mine ending day. But in our bed he was so fresh and gay, and therewithal he could so well me gloss, when that he would have my Bella shows, that though he had me beat in every bone, he could win again my love anon. I trow I loved him best, for that he was of his love dangerous to me. We women have, if that I shall not lie, in this matter a quaint fantasy. Wait what thing we may not lightly have, thereafter we will cry all day and crave. Forbid us thing, and that desirin' we. Press on us fast, and then will we flee. With danger outen we all our chaffer. Great press at market maketh dearer ware, and too great cheap is held at little price. This knoweth every woman that is wise. My fifth husband, God his soul bless, which that I took for love and not riches, he sometime was a clerk of Oxenford, and had left school and went at home to board with my gossip dwelling in our town. God have her soul, her name was Alison. She knew my heart and all my privity, better than our parish priest, so may I thee. To her bereaed I my counsel all. For had my husband pissed on a wall, or done a thing that should have cost his life, to her and to another worthy wife, and to my niece, which that I loved well, I would have told his counsel every deal, and so I did full often, God it wot, that made his face often red and hot for very shame, and blamed himself, for he had told to me so great a privity. And so befell that once in a Lent, so oftentimes I to my gossip went, forever yet I loved to be gay, and for to walk in March, April, and May, from house to hear in sundry tales, that Jenkin clerk and my gossip, Dame Alice, and I myself into the fields went. My husband was at London all that Lent. I had the better leisure for to play, and for to see, and eke for to be seen of lusty folk. What wist I where my grace was shapen for to be, or in what place? Therefore made I my visitations to vigils and to processions, to preachings eke, and to these pilgrimages, to plays of miracles and to marriages, and wear'd upon my gay scarlet guites. These worms, nor these moths, nor these mites, upon my peril, fret them never a deal. And wast thou why? For they were used well. Now will I tellen forth what happened me. I say that in the fields walked we, till truly we had such dalliance, this clerk and I, that of my purveyance. I spoke to him, and said him how that he, if I were widow, should wedden me. For certainly, I say, for no bobance, yet was I never without purveyance of marriage, nor of other things eke. I hold a mouse's heart not worth a leek, that hath but one hole for to start into, and if that fail, then is all he do. I bore him on hand, he had enchanted me. My dame taught me that subtlety, and eke I said I met of him all night. He would have slain me as I lay upright, and all my bed was full of very blood. But yet I hope that you shall do me good, for blood betokeneth gold, as me was taught. And all was false, I dreamed of it right naught, but I followed I my dame's law, as well of that as of other things more. But now, sir, let me see, what shall I sayn? Aha! By God, I have my tale again. When that my fourth husband was on his bier, I wept all gate and made sorry cheer, as wives must, for it is usage, and with my kerchief covered my visage. But for that I was purveyed of a make, I wept but small, and that I undertake. To church was my husband borne a morrow, with neighbours that for him made sorrow, and Jenkin, our clerk, was one of those. As help me God, when that I saw him go after the beer, methought he had a pair of legs and of feet so clean and fair that all my heart I gave unto his hold. He was, I trow, 20 winters old, and I was 40, if I shall say sooth, but yet I had always a colt's tooth. Gat-toothed I was, and that became me well. I had the print of St. Venus' seal. As help me God, I was a lusty one, and fair and rich and young and well begone. And truly, as mine husband's told me, I had the best crony I might be. For certes, I am all Venerian in feeling, and my heart is Martian. Venus me gave my lust and licorousness, and Mars gave me my sturdy hardiness. Mine ascendant was Tor, and Mars therein. Alas, alas, that ever love was sin. I followed aye mine inclination by virtue of my constellation, that made me that I could not withdraw my chamber of Venus from a good fellow. Yet have I Mars's mark upon my face, and also in another privy place? For God so wisely be my salvation, I loved never by no discretion, but ever followed mine appetite. All were he short or long or black or white, I took no keep, so that he liked me, how poor he was, nor eke of what degree. What should I say, but at the month's end, this jolly clerk Jenkin, that was so henned, has wedded me with great solemnity, and to him gave I all the land and fee that ever was me given there before, but afterward repented me full sore. He would suffer nothing of my list. By God, he smote me once upon the list. For that I rent out of his book a leaf, that of the stroke mine ear waxed all deaf. Stubborn I was, as is a lioness, and of my tongue a very jangleress. And walk I would as I had done beforn, from house to house, although he had it sworn, for which he oftentimes would preach, and me of old Roman jests teach, how he, Simplicius Gallus, left his wife, and her forsook for term of all his life. Not but for open-headed he her saw, looking out at his door upon a day, another Roman told he me by name, that for his wife was at a summer game without his witting. He forsook her eke. And then would he upon his Bible seek, that ilke proverb of ecclesiast, where he commandeth and forbiddeth fast. Man shall not suffer his wife go roll about. Then would he say right thus withouten doubt, whoso that buildeth his house all of sallows, and pricketh his blind horse over the fallows, and suffereth his wife go seekin' hallows, is worthy to be hanged on the gallows. But all for naught, I set not an whore of his proverbs, nor of his old saw. Nor I would not of him corrected be. I hate them that my vices tellen me, and so do more, God wot, of us than I. This made him wood with me all utterly. I would not forbear him in no case. Now will I say you sooth by St. Thomas, why that I rent out of his book a leaf, for which he smote me so that I was deaf. He had a book that gladly, night and day, for his disport, he would it read alway. He cleaped it Valer and Theophrast, at which book he laughed always full fast. And eke there was sometime a clerk at Rome, a cardinal, that hight St. Jerome, that made a book against Jovinian, in which book eke there was Tertullian, Chrysippus, Trotula, and Eloise, that was abbess not far from Paris, and eke the parables of Solomon, Ovid's art, and books many a one, and all these were bound in one volume. And every night and day was his custom, when he had leisure and vacation from other worldly occupation, to readen in this book of wicked wives. He knew of them more legends and lives than be of good wives in the Bible. For trusteth well, it is an impossible that any clerk will speaken good of wives, but if it be of holy saints' lives, nor of no other woman never the mo who painted the lion, tell me who. By God, if women had written stories as clerks have within their oratories, they would have writ of men more wickedness than all the mark of Adam may redress. The children of Mercury and of Venus be in their working full contrarious. Mercury loves wisdom and science, and Venus loveth riot and dispense. And for their diverse disposition, each fails in other's exaltation. As thus, God wot, Mercury is desolate, in Pisces where Venus is exaltate. And Venus fails where Mercury is raised, therefore no woman of no clerk is praised. The clerk, when he is old and may naught do, of Venus works worth his old shoe. Then sits he down and writes in his dotage that women cannot keep their marriage. But now to purpose, why I told thee that I was beaten for a book, pardee. Upon a night, Jenkin, that was our sire, read in his book, as he sat by the fire, of Eva first, that for her wickedness was all mankind brought to wretchedness, for which that Jesus Christ himself was slain, that bought us with his heart's blood again. Lo, here express of woman may you find, that woman was the loss of all mankind. Then read he me how Samson lost his hairs. Sleeping, his leman cut them with her shears. Through which treason lost he both his eyes. Then read he me, if that I shall not lie, of Hercules, and of his Dionaea, that caused him to set himself afire. Nothing forgot he the sorrow and the woe that Socrates had with his wives too. How Xantippe cast piss upon his head. This silly man sat still, as he were dead. He wiped his head, no more durst he sain, but ere that thunder stints, there comes a rain. Of Pasiphae, that was the queen of Crete. For shrewedness him thought the tale sweet. Fie, speak no more. It is a grisly thing, of her horrible lust and her liking. Of Clytemnestra for her lechery, that falsely made her husband for to die. He read it with full good devotion. He told me eke for what occasion Amphiorax at Thebes lost his life. My husband had a legend of his wife, Eriphyle, that for an ouch of gold, as privily unto the Greeks told, where that her husband hid him in a place, for which he had at Thebes sorry grace. Of Livia, told he me, and of Lucy, they both made their husbands for to die, that one for love, that other was for hate. Livia, her husband, on an evening late, empoisoned has, for that she was his foe. Lucia, Licorice, loved her husband so, that for he should always upon her think, she gave him such a manner love drink, that he was dead ere it were by the morrow, and thus all Gates' husbands have sorrow. Then told he me how that one Latumius complained unto his fellow Arius, that in his garden growed such a tree, on which he said how that his wives three hanged themselves for hearts despotous. O, leave a brother, quod this Arius, give me a plant of thilke blessed tree, and in my garden planted shall it be. Of later date of wives had he read, that some had slain their husbands in their bed, and let their lecher dight them all the night, while that the corpse lay on the floor upright, and some have driven nails into their brain, while that they slept, and thus they have them slain. Some have them given poison in their drink. He spoke more harm than heart may bethink. And therewithal he knew of more proverbs than in this world there grow in grass or herbs. Bet is, quod he, thine habitation, be with a lion or a foul dragon, than with a woman using for to chide. Bet is, quod he, high in the roof abide, than with an angry wife down in the house. They be so wicked and contrarious. They hate what their husbands love and nay. He said, "A woman casts her shame away when she casts off her smock. And furthermore, a fair woman, but she be chaste also, is like a gold ring in a sow's nose." Who could ween, or who could suppose the woe that in my heart was, and the pine? And when I saw that he would never find to readen on this cursed book all night, all suddenly 3 leaves have I plight out of his book, right as he read, and eke I with my fist so took him on the cheek that in our fire he fell backward adown. And up he starts, as does a wood lion, and with his fist he smote me on the head, that on the floor I lay as I were dead. And when he saw how still that I lay, he was aghast, and would have fled his way, till at the last out of my swoon I brayed, "Oh, hast thou slain me, false a thief?" I said, "and for my land thus hast thou murdered me? Ere I be dead, yet will I kissen thee." And near he came, and kneeled fair adown, and said, "Dear sister Alison, as help me God, I shall thee never smite. What I have done, it is thyself to wite. Forgive it me, and that I thee beseech. And yet eftsoons I hit him on the cheek, and said, Thief, thus much am I wreak. Now will I die. I may no longer speak." But at the last, with much care and woe, we fell accorded by ourselves too. He gave me all the bridle in my hand to have the governance of house and land, and of his tongue, and of his hand also, and made him burn his book anon right though. And when that I had gotten unto me by mastery all the sovereignty, and that he said, "Mine own true wife, do as thee list the term of all thy life. Keep thine honour, and keep eke mine estate." After that day we never had debate. God help me so, I was to him as kind as any wife from Denmark unto Eind. And also true, and so was he to me. I pray to God that sits in majesty, so bless his soul for his mercy dear. Now will I say my tale, if you will hear.
The friar laughed when he had heard all this. "Now, dame," quoth he, "so have I joy or bliss, this is a long preamble of a tale." And when the summoner heard the friar gale, "Lo," quoth this summoner, "God's arms too. A friar will intermit him evermore. Lo, good men, a fly and eke a frere will fall in every dish and eke matter. What speakest thou of preambulation? What, amble, or trot, or peace, or go sit down, thou lettest our disport in this manner? Yea, wilt thou so, sir summoner?" quoth the frere. "Now, by my faith, I shall, ere that I go, tell of a summoner such a tale or two that all the folk shall laughen in this place." "Now, else, friar, I will beshrew thy face," quoth this summoner, "and I beshrew me, but if I tell tales 2 or 3 of friars ere I come to Sittingbourne, that I shall make thy heart for to mourn, for well I wot thy patience is gone." Our host cried, "Peace, and that anon," and said, "Let the woman tell her tale. You fare as folk that drunken be of ale. Do, dame, tell forth your tale, and that is best."
"Already, sir," quod she, "right as you lest, if I have license of this worthy frere."
"Yes, dame," quoth he, "tell forth, and I will hear."
In the olden days of King Arthur, of which that Britons speak in great honour. Or was this land fulfilled of fairy? The elf queen with her jolly company danced full oft in many a green mead. This was the old opinion, as I read. I speak of many hundred years ago, but now can no man see no elves more. For now the great charity and prayers